we're going to look at three essentials for life in Psalm 111. Three essentials for life. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just yell amen.
Amen.
Amen. These are essentials that we need to be reminded of all the time in our walk with God. They're common ones. They're ones that we know about, but they are ones that we can sometimes grow a little slack in. And so the Lord laid on my heart the thought of this psalm, plus the fact that we are going into Proverbs next week. So as we consider these essentials, I just want to talk about that word essential. I remember reading a story of Socrates. How many of you have ever heard of Socrates before? Okay, a guy walked up to him, muscular, strong, and he goes, "Oh, Socrates, would you show me the way of wisdom?" And Socrates looked at him and he said to himself, he goes, "Man, is this guy arrogant?" And so he goes, "What do you want?" "Oh, Socrates, I want your wisdom." And Socrates stood up and began walking, and they were near a beach. And Socrates walked right into the water, and he kept asking the young man, "What do you really want?" "Oh, your wisdom, your wisdom." And got in just about chest high, and Socrates grabbed him and poof, dunked him. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he pulled him up after about 25 seconds. And he goes, "What do you want?" He goes, "Oh, your wisdom, oh Socrates." And down he goes again. And this time he added another 10 seconds to it. And then, you know, he comes up spitting and sputtering a little. He goes, "What do you want?" He goes, "Wisdom, please, oh Socrates, please, please." And boom, down he goes. This time he left him down for about a minute. That's the way Robert baptizes sometimes. Just kidding. And he brought him back up, and now he's coughing and spitting and sputtering, and he goes, "What do you need?" And he goes, "Air, air." Essentials for Christian living are just important to your life and my life as air is every day we walk this life. Psalm 111, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you again so much for your goodness to us. We ask for your hand of blessing this evening. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would have free rein in each of our hearts and lives. Father, that you would prick our hearts, that you would encourage our hearts, that you would change our hearts. Challenge us for your glory and your glory alone. Might these familiar truths not be boring, but truly sparks that reignite the fire in our hearts and lives. Oh, Father, meet with us in a precious way. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. There will always be essentials in your life and my life if we are going to serve Christ in a way that glorifies him. Always. It is necessary. And the first essential is worship. Look at verse 1 with me. It says, "Praise the Lord." It could be rendered this way: "Hallelujah to the Lord." We've already sang a hallelujah. You know, that's what this is saying here. It is a hallelujah because who he is, because he is Lord and Master. He has not lost control. He is in control. He is King of Kings. And so you and I ought to worship him. We ought to praise him, rejoice in him. The psalmist goes on to say, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Think about that. Our whole heart. Let me remind you that Christ challenged all of us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the way we ought to praise him. Every fiber of our being, personally and corporately. You know, we just sang three beautiful songs, and I have to admit, the middle one was a new one to me tonight, or if I'd heard it before, I didn't pay as much attention as I did to it tonight. But wonderful songs about how great our God is. And it doesn't stop at singing a hallelujah. It is every fiber of my being present in worshiping my God. And the verse goes on to say, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Guess where we are tonight, folks? We're in the assembly. We're in the presence of the congregation who loves the Lord and upright in spirit. Amen? That's where we are. Yeah, our numbers are down tonight. It's been a long week last week with VBS and everything, and everybody's grabbing a second breath in their lives. But yet, here we are, rejoicing in how great God is. We do the same thing personally and individually. How did you worship God before you got here tonight? How in your life was it presented to the Lord, your day? You know, I love my phone because it has audio Bible on it. I can sit there and listen to it be read to me over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to me. That's just a joy. Having time to pray. Praise the Lord. Praising him not only for the great things that are happening in life, but praising him for everything that happens in life. Being thankful, having a heart of thanksgiving, doing that, thanking the Lord for my wife, for our children, our grandchildren. There's so many ways we sing a hallelujah to the Lord, that we praise him, our worship, our steadfast devotion to him, a true commitment of ascribing worth to all that he is. Psalm 35, you would read this in verses 17 and 18. The psalmist is in distress. Psalm 35, 17 and 18 says this, Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions. My precious life from the lions. And here's how the psalmist declares he will live after praying those prayers. He goes, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people with others. Yeah, newcomer's lunch. Man, if you haven't connected with somebody here, why not? We always use the reason, well, it's a large church, it's challenging. Hey, it might be, but that's why we have connect groups. That's why we do things like having the different kinds of meetings to where you can meet people, meet pastors, be able to ask questions, to be able to connect with others in a wonderful way. This church is built on worshiping the true and living God and earnestly wanting people to connect, to celebrate all that he is in reality as well as in our lives personally. Worship. And it's so easy to neglect. You know, I know there's shut-ins. You know, and the reality of having shut-ins is to be able to go and meet with them and be able to share with them and fellowship with them. My dad trusted Christ as his Savior when he was 68. When he turned 70, I had the joy of baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, like we had out here on Saturday night. He started attending a local church. And the pastor, being very wise, now this is in the 80s, the pastor being very wise, he goes, "Charlie, there's things you can be doing for the Lord." And he goes, "I'm old. There's nothing I can do for the Lord." He goes, "I don't know the Bible very well." And my dad was biblically illiterate when he trusted Christ as Savior. You know what his pastor gave him job to do? They recorded the sermons on little cassette tapes. "Charlie, will you take these to the shut-ins?" "I guess I can do that." So he took him to the shut-ins. About the fourth week, he realized, "Pastor, none of them are listening to him. You're wasting your time." He goes, "Charlie, figure out a way." My dad, you talk about somebody that was a penny pincher, my dad, he went out and bought a boombox. He walked into their house and he said, "It was a great message this past week. Let's listen to it." And he sat there listening to it. So he would hear the same message about five times a week. I loved it. Boy, did my dad start growing. There's so many ways we can worship, even with the shut-ins, taking communion to them, loving on them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with all your heart, with your whole heart. Nothing divided, no idols to follow after, just Jesus Christ. The second thing that we ought to consider as we resolve to worship God personally and corporately, we need to be able to be always in awe of Him. Always in awe. Sometimes we forget just how great our God is and the wonder of who He is. The joy of who He is. Look at verse 2 with me. "The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in Him." You imagine that? Great are His works, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Do we rejoice in having God's word? And do we delight in it? Do we study ourselves to be approved workmen unto God? Is this something that we really rejoice in because of all that He has done? His providence, His love towards us. They are honorable, they are majestic, they are full of His perfection. When you and I look out at Pike's Peak, man, it's not just something that happened. It's something that God brought to pass, amen? The sun rises and the sun sets and the joy that we have of watching them. God's creation all around us. About 20 years ago, I visited this fair city for the first time. My son-in-law, who married our middle daughter, was in the Air Force and lived out east. And we went out there and he decided to, I won't tell on him, yes I will. He brought home with him from his military some night vision goggles. And we lived out far, he lived far enough out east where the lights of the village didn't bother. And man, when you put those on and looked up, the stars multiplied by 10, you know, unreal how many stars you could see with those. Man, I just began crying. How vast God's creation is and the wonder of it. Think about salvation. Wow, great are your works, Lord. You and I do not deserve salvation, and yet he freely brought it to pass through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. That was his plan for forever. Verse 3 goes on to say, his work is honorable and glorious, if not majestic, for his righteousness endures forever. His righteousness endures forever. Are you glad that he doesn't change his mind concerning what is the truth of his word? Wow. You know, so many different cults have had God's word and they change it. And then they change it again. They change it again. Why? Because it's not the word of truth, but we have the word of truth. Solid, that we can live by. Psalm 40, verse 5 would say this, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare to speak them, they are more than can be numbered. Can you think of that? The thoughts that God has towards you as an individual, as a child of the Most High God, if you're here tonight in Christ, his thoughts towards you cannot be numbered. That just makes me go, my God knows me that intimately. My God knows me that profoundly. My God cares about me that way. Guess what? Your God does the same with you too, because he's the same God. Amen? Amen. And you and I have the joy of understanding that. His mercy towards us. Aren't you glad he's a merciful God? Man, I have messed up so many times in my life. He broke more than one 2x4 to get my attention. Because of who he is, we do not need to guess about what pleases him, what honors him, what glorifies him. It is laid out for us. Amen. It is presented for us wonderfully. C.S. Lewis said this, praise not only expresses our heart, but it completes our joy in God. Only if you and I hold God in awe and in worship does that joy become true. To where we can sit back no matter how the difficulties of life are, the reality is he loves us. His mercy and grace is still present. Wow. And the joy that we have in him. Notice as we continue on with this awe, look at verse 4 with me. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. Man, if you and I read through the Old Testament and go through things, Israel had so many great things to remember. Amen. We go through the New Testament, guess what? We as churches and his children, we have a lot to remember, don't we? Yeah. Man, we don't remember his resurrection just on Easter, I hope. We don't remember his birth just on Christmas, I hope. His provision is constant, consistent, and complete to each and every one of us individually. All we have to do is look to him. The wonder of awe. How magnificent he is. The verse continues on, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. So true. so wonderful. You know, the years I spent apart from Christ, and then he saved me in my 30s. Such compassion, such grace, neither of which I deserved. Verse 5 goes on, he has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. We're going to take communion tonight, and this is the new covenant in his blood for the church that we are to do in remembrance of everything that Christ has done for us. It is the new covenant, the age of grace, the time of the church. You and I have so much to celebrate because of that covenant. A covenant that was given to Abraham, which declared, through you, Abraham, all the nations will be blessed.
Yes, sir.
And we are, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Praise God.
We are so wonderfully, so mercifully. Verse 6 goes on to say, and he declared to his people the power of his works in the giving them the heritage of the nations. You know, Israel, many Israelites got to see the parting of the Red Sea. You and I can only see it in our imagination. The wonder of it, the power of it. Creation itself, the power of God. You and I can only see it in our imagination. But salvation is what you and I experience when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. That moment that our sins are removed and we step into a relationship with the true and living God of the universe through Jesus Christ our Lord. We experience that. We experience the love and presence of Christ every day in our walk if we will let him. What a joy. What a truth from God's word. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. In Psalm 86, and many of you know that Psalm 86 is by far my most favorite psalm. In verses 3 through 5, we would read these words, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all the day long. Rejoice the soul of your spirit, of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." What a wonderful provision. God's forgiveness. That's something we can never take for granted. We should never lay aside. You and I should be in awe of it. The reality, it doesn't matter if we're backslidden. He's waiting to hear our hearts say, "Father, forgive me." And guess what? He forgives us. That's his grace, his mercy, his love, his compassion, all poured out. The wonder of who he is, being in awe of him, his provision day by day. Throughout life, it's an essential to be in awe of God. Does he still cause us to truly just burst from within because of all that he is in our lives? You know, I have a son-in-law that decided to get me an Alexa. I don't know why I need her in my house, but he thought I needed it, and I have it. But it is a place where I can go, "Alexa, please play RMC worship music," and boom, I've got RMC worship music. And I can listen to it. There aren't any other places that I can listen to it other than downloads. And I don't like listening to my phone. I enjoy being able to do it. I can listen to whoever I want to in the Christian realm. And so we can fill our house with music. We can fill our house with Christian music. We can stand in awe of our God moment by moment through each day. If we are committed to it and we strive to do it His way. These things are to be remembered. You and I must be diligent to remember. You and I must be intentional to remember how great His faithfulness is and the joy that we get in walking in that truth. I hope you get filled up because we have an important one left. The third essential is God's wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom from on high. Look at verse 7 with me. The works of His hands are verity and justice. That word verity is true and faithful. His precepts are sure. They're faithful and true. Now think about that. Think about, and I just want to pause here, and I'm going to give you 25 seconds to think about the last answered prayer request. And I don't care if it was answered negatively to what you wanted, but the last prayer request that you had that you know definitively that was answered by our God. Pause and think about it. Have you got one? Hopefully you've got a couple. But do you have one? Do you have the understanding that these things are always there because He is faithful and true, that His word never returns to Him void, that He always declares that He will meet with us, that He will hear us, and that He will respond. I don't know about you, but when God responds to the call of my heart and I hear Him, I am so humbled that He hears me. I'm humbled at the fact that He saved me, but that He hears me and then responds. That is where our wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from God's word, from that God that is faithful. We just sang about His faithfulness tonight again. The reality that He is consistently faithful in your life and my life. His works, faithful and true. His precepts, His word is sure. Those things that He calls upon us to respond to in our personal walk with Him, they are there for us to grow in. Look at verse 8 with me. Those works They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Wow. You know, he calls upon you and I to stand fast in him. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Realizing that our works will not return to him void. He yearns to use you in this life. He yearns to continue to use me in this life. He has a personal agenda for each one of his children to follow him, to bring to him the glory that is due his name. The reality of how great our God is, and that wisdom comes from his word. Standing fast, unmovable, unshakable in how we worship him, how we stand in awe of him, yearning for his wisdom in our lives. Verse 9 goes on to say this: he has sent redemption to his people. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Salvation is real. Salvation is true. It happened through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He commanded his covenant forever. Man, I don't know. It is so wonderful what our God has done. Holy and awesome is his name. You know, one thing I've learned in texting, very seldom do I, if somebody asks me how I'm doing, I go, I'm awesome. I'm not awesome. God's awesome.
Yeah.
He's the one that is worthy of everything. It is his covenant, his redemption, his personal work that was accomplished in your heart and life through the wonders of salvation, if you are here in Christ, that can happen to bring him glory in your life for his glory.
Yes, sir.
Then we get to verse 10. That you'll hear about probably again next week. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear. That means honor. That means worship. That means being in awe. To me, it also means being ready for correction when I walk away from God. Because he is faithful and true, and he will chastise me if I'm not walking with him. But this is honor. This is steadfast, wanting to know him through the power of his word, so that the power of the Spirit within us can grow us in his grace. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever. The joy of who he is. Do we desire wisdom? Man, in this culture, we've got to have wisdom every moment when people ask us the reason of our hope. Because they are so far away from God, they are very ignorant of the true living God. They do not have an understanding because the darkness of our culture has squashed that, so it's not revealed. You know, when I was in school, and I know I'm old, but even in a public school, we sang Christmas hymns around Christmas and was able to call it Christmas and understand it was about the birth of Christ. We could sing resurrection songs around Easter, realizing that Easter was about the resurrection of Christ. Now, that's the closest I came to going to church in my young life. Never went to church. The reality is, though, that God was still there in those songs, and so when I was presented presented Christ crucified, in the back of my mind, I had something to draw upon. The reality of who he is and what he yearns for. But we have generations now that have been deprived of that truth in their walk because our culture squashes the reality of Christ. You and I need to be seeking more and more of his wisdom in our lives. Turn with me to Psalm 86 quickly, please. Again, it's my favorite psalm. You'll have to forgive me, but turn there quickly. Just back a few pages in your Bible. Psalm 86, look at verse 11. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." You know, when somebody began telling me when I was first saved, fear the Lord, I had no clue what that meant. Do I cower in front of God? God doesn't want that for us. But what he wants us to be able to do is bring honor to his name. And you and I have to be teachable to be able to learn his truth. Verse 12 goes on to say, "I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your mercy towards me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of the grave." That is me. When I realized that God had saved me for a purpose and he had a design in my life that he had equipped me and gifted me for, those words began to ring true. So I began pleading, "Teach me more, teach me more. I want to walk with you in such a way that will glorify your name as I walk this earth." It starts with salvation. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. That's in the New Testament. We'll probably get to it if he continues after 1st and 2nd Timothy. But Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Follow with me. Verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That's how we get into the presence of God, the true and living God, is through the shed blood of the Lamb. It's the wonders of salvation. And we can come straight to him with our heart's desires and our heart cries. And he says, having the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Oh, man. When he was there on that cross, I've said this, and it still gives me goosebumps thinking about the fact that God placed every sin that I committed in the past, that I'll commit in the future, on my Savior, and he willingly suffered the holy, just wrath of God for me. But that is the new and living way. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." That is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing God, knowing that he is the only way. Notice how it goes on, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a whole heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Wow. That's wisdom. I don't know about you, but I just love drawing near to God and continuously seeking that in my life, closer and closer, closer and closer. I yearn to experience his presence, his love, his grace, his mercy. consistently in my life. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Will that ever change? It will never change. Faithful is he. Faithful is he. Verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here we are, get connected, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Christ is going to return soon. And as we see that day approaching, let's powerfully go toward him. Let's worship him. Let's be in awe of him. Let's seek his wisdom. J.I. Packer said this, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. That is Christ's word, God's word. I don't know if any of you have read any books by John Grisham or not. He's a celebrated author, and he was interviewed one time by Will Norton. And Will Norton finally asked a question. He goes, anything ever happened in your life that has impacted your life at all? And he goes, oh yeah. A college mate of mine, one of my best friends, came to me one day and told me he was dying of cancer and there was absolutely nothing that could be done for him medically. It had advanced too far. And he goes, and I was crushed and I didn't know how to respond, he goes, and a couple of weeks went by, and so I asked my friend to lunch. And Will Norton goes, well, how did lunch go? And he goes, well, it was very awkward at first. And then finally, I just asked him the pointed question. What do you do when you realize that you're going to die soon? The young man said, he was only 25. He goes, that's real simple. I'm trying to spend as much time as possible with those who love me and that I love. I am trying to make things right with those who I've wronged. I am forgiving those who have wronged me. He goes, I guess you could put it, I'm getting right with God. Salvation. That is the beginning of wisdom. It is where our hearts can so worship him, where we can start being in awe of him and striving to always be right with him, serving him. How are we doing? I don't know if you were here last Saturday night, but I was in tears baptizing people. And I don't know how many we had. I know we had 80 sign up, but we had a lot more just come to be baptized. And so I'm guessing around 100. I got to baptize people's grandchildren. I got to baptize a whole family. I don't know about you, but when people have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I am so humbled and I rejoice so much to be able to walk with Christ moment by moment each day in a way that he is glorified. It will always take the essential of worship, awe, and wisdom. Where are you? Let's stand and pray. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, don't leave here tonight without doing that. We will have pastors on each side. Simple prayer, just asking God to forgive your sins and to believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, that he is the way of salvation. Simple prayer. But you have to believe it in your heart. You have to be humbled for your sin. I don't know if you're here tonight and you've kind of walked away. And now's the time to get right. They are there. Ask God to forgive you. Make a commitment when you come and celebrate the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Celebrate that. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for your word. We rejoice in your goodness to us. We thank you for the wonder of your love. Might our worship, even now as we partake of communion, be that which honors and glorifies you. Might we do that with a whole heart. And Father, if there are people here hurting who have lost sight of your faithfulness, your compassion, your grace, your mercy, oh Lord, might they come and just ask for prayer? Would you meet that need in their hearts and lives tonight for your glory and your glory alone? If there's somebody here who has been being tugged on to serve in a different way, might they take that step of faith? Father, might you truly be glorified in it all. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.